This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Number 10. We just said just do it. Number 10 is you can't do it alone. Just do it, but you can't do it alone. You need help. You need that support. You need to surround yourself with people who are like-minded, who have initiative, who have desire, who have happiness in their life. We're going to talk about math. If I give you 1 million positive, and I ask you to multiply it by negative one, you have 1 million positive, and you multiply it by just one negative, that equal sign will bring you, has to be negative. Even if it's 1 million positive, just one negative multiplied into it makes everything negative. Cannot be. You cannot have the equation being positive at the end. So therefore you need people who will be positive, who will be energetic, who will be loving to Allah. Even if you say, oh, I am, alhamdulillah, I am strong in Iman. But you have that one person who is consistently and constantly and willingly and ultimately seeking to bring you away from Allah, you will find yourself eroding in that strength of Iman that you thought you would always keep. Just do it. But you need people to do it with. People to help you accomplish your goals and your aims and your dreams in all of the facets of your life. Number 11. Excellence speaks for itself. You know, sometimes we say, oh, you know, I have these ideas, I want to. Excellence is what really matters. It's what represents itself. It's not the secondary talk, it's not the things around it, it's not the things that are preparing for it. Excellence is what you seek to represent who you are. And therefore, you know, we have in America, in Canada, we say, you have to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. You gotta walk it. You gotta prove yourself. You want to be a good mother. Show it. It's not, I plan, inshallah, no. Work towards it. Show that excellence in everything you do. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ هَمَّ بِأَمْرٍ, anyone who's going to do anything, فَلْيُتْقِنْ, let him prepare for it with excellence. Let him seek to make it perfect. Your aim in life is not just to half-bake and to do it halfway. Your aim is to see the mission through, to fulfill the aim, to arrive at completion, at perfection in whatever it is that you seek. Number 12. Just do it. Have the right people to do it with. Seek excellence. And believe that your dua will be answered. Because as hard as you work, and as much excellence as you seek, and as strong as the team you build, and as strong as the family you have, and as much initiative as you want, تُرِيد وَاللَّهُ لَا يُرِيد. You want, but Allah doesn't want it. وَاللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيد. And Allah will do what He wants. So now you have dua. الدُّعَاء سُلَاحِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. It is the weapon of a believer. It is the strength of a believer. So your dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what will assist you in attaining the excellence you seek, and the team that you're building, and the desire to fulfill the aims that you have in your life. To turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you have no one is honor. But to turn to Allah when you have others around you is trust in Allah. See, sometimes when everything is happy in our life, we forget that we still need Allah. So Allah then takes away those who we are relying on instead of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. You think you have a job and an income and alhamdulillah, money in the bank and everything is going smooth. Just in Perth, there was a brother, someone I know. He's an engineer, mashallah. He had a good job, alhamdulillah. The economy of Perth, although strong, there's, you know, a little bit of shift in the market. And the brother has money saved in the bank, and they were renting a home, a nice home in a nice area with a nice car. And he lost his job. And he was on contract. He said, I'll find a job soon, alhamdulillah, no problem. His wife is a stay-at-home mom. He had three children in the Islamic school. And for 1 month, 2 months, he's living off his savings. So he's paying rent, $2,000 a month. They had $10,000, $15,000 in savings. Oh, we still have some time. 2 months, 3 months go by, and there's no income. Okay, let's move from this nice house to a smaller house. When he gave the letter that he's leaving the home, he thought, I will find another home easy to rent. But because he had three or four children, every time he goes to apply for a house, there's someone who has one or two children, or someone whose name is not, you know, Ahmed Muhammad. It could be, you know, Yahya Ibrahim or John Abraham. I'm going to take John Abraham. It's the same guy, same name. John Abraham or Yahya Ibrahim? No, we don't like this Yahya. I don't know what this is. I'm going to take John. So they accepted other people's application. All of a sudden, let's move into a hotel. This is a person who had a good job. He's living in a hotel. His family's in a hotel. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. He doesn't want to ask for help because he's a person who's always, alhamdulillah, been self-sufficient. The money in the bank is dwindling. What happens? Can happen to anyone. You think I have stability. Allah tests you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. You think you're healthy. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. We will test you. Life. And therefore, a dua. You're linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who the angel's mission in life was to protect him. The Prophet would say to the Sahaba, walk in front of me, you don't have to walk behind me. No one can harm me. The angels are behind me. Don't worry. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But yet, he would make dua to Allah. Asking Allah, I need you, Ya Allah. أعوذ بنور وجهك الكريم. Oh Allah, I seek protection in the light of your face. الذي أشرقت بنوره الظلمات. That removes the darkness, Ya Allah. Allahu Akbar. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم asks Allah, and you're too proud to ask Allah? You think because you're happy, you don't need to ask Allah? You think, oh, alhamdulillah, everything is, I'm just making, I say, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Du'a is the essence of your worship. The one who isn't asking Allah for everything in their life to increase it and to protect it and to honor it. The one who isn't connected to Allah with that surety of knowing Allah will answer them, they will be tested and their iman will be shaken. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, اسألوا الله وأنتم موقنون بالإجابة. When you ask Allah, have in your heart, Allah will answer you. Even though it's a big thing. Zakariya alayhi salam, he's an old man. اشتعل الرأس شيبة. His hair had burnt off, he said. Burnt off into whiteness. His bones had weakened. His wife is old, never given birth. And he says, oh Allah, I want a son. Give me a son. When the angel Jibreel comes and says, okay, Allah gave you a son, he goes, Annal, how? Allah, you were asking for it. And now you say, how? Fiqh of dua. Ask for the things you think could never happen. They will happen. Zakariya, how's it going to happen? It's going to happen. Even Zakariya, the Prophet of Allah, is amazed. Are you sure? Yes, he will come. How will it happen? He keeps on questioning Jibreel until Jibreel says, كَذَٰلِكَ قَالَ رَبُّكَ. Your Lord said it will happen. It's going to happen. Stop asking why or how it will happen. And therefore, a dua brings into life that which you are unable to bring into life yourself. Number 13, when it's time to change, change. When it's time to change, change. And it's one of those issues in life where sometimes we get stuck doing the same thing all the time. The same routine, day after day. And it's almost as if we get habitual in it. No, when it's time to change, when there is need, change. Don't be stuck in your ways. Don't say, this is what I learned, this is all I can do. Don't say, this is my only way of doing things. No, adapt yourself to change. And this was the way of our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and all of the Sahaba who he built, who he raised up on their desire to change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِ. Allah will not change the good or bad of a people until they make the change themselves. Allah will not change your condition until you change it. Until you make a movement towards that change. Number 14, the best is usually the simplest. Simple things. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he said, Allah desires from you the small deeds that are always done by you. Not the big deeds that you do once. Right? Do small good deeds all the time, the rest of your life. Better for you than to do one good thing and never do anything again. The best of your life will be in those simple recurring acts. The words of praise you inspire in your husband. The confidence that you build every day in your children. The building of your knowledge of the Qur'an and the hadith gradually. One ayah a day, two ayah a day, three ayah a day. Gradual steps to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you build to becoming the best. And that was the habit of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number 15, demand the best from others. Don't accept that someone just gives you enough. Even if it's your own husband, I know the brothers are going to get angry. But when you say it, say it properly. Don't say, no. I hope they're listening. Demand the best. It's not demand with your word, but demand with your actions. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he teaches us, you know, to offer always the best to Allah, to our families. And therefore he talks about the relationship of a husband and wife as being khayrukum, the best of you. It's not just the Muslim of you, the best of you. Khayrukum li ahli is the best in his relationship with his family, right? For husbands to their wives. So you must be demanding of that. That demand comes by you offering the same. This is how you demand it. It's not you knock on, okay, I'm home now. Sheikh Yahya said, I need the best. The car is not the best. I need the best. No. Demand the best means you give the best. So you will receive the best. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. To them is what you ask of them. What you want is what you give. Right? What you want from someone is what you give. And the Prophet ﷺ talks about this quality for the Muslim woman in particular. He says to me, to the men, تَزَوَّجُوا. Who should I choose in marriage? Who's the one that we see? الْوَدُود. A woman who is tender, loving. You feel in her how she was brought up, her manners, that she has softness, femininity, wadood. Second, walood, nurturing, that she will be nurturing to your children. She has an empathetic, soft side. Wadood, walood. And then the third, a'ud. Al-a'ud يعني ta'udu bil-khayri wal-man. A'ud means that the good she receives, she returns greater than what she got. This is the quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah seek to instill in the Muslimah. That your husband says, I love you, you say, I love you very much. He says, Assalamu alaykum, you say, Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Whatever you receive, that your disposition, your personality is to exceed the favor shown to you. And then the Prophet describes the opposite of that in the hadith narrated by Imam al-Bukhari. He says, of the reasons some of the women will enter hellfire, يَكْفُرْنَ الْعَشِيرَةِ. They are ungrateful for the life that they have with their husband. They make kufr, ungrateful for the kindness shown. There isn't a resurgence of it and a return of it. So these are some of the elemental issues that we need to be on guard of. Demand the best by receiving and giving the best. Number 16. It's a tough one. So forgive me. Guard your emotions. Allah, yani, Allah make it easy. I hope this section, yani, I get out of here safe. Hold your emotions. Musa alayhi salam, Allah depicts an ayah in the Quran where Allah says, remember how we said Musa got scared? When the magician threw the snakes, Allah says, وَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى. When Musa saw the snakes of all these magicians who threw the ropes and sticks, these Egyptian priests and magicians, Musa, أَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً. Musa got scared in himself. فِي نَفْسِهِ. In himself. What does that mean? It means people looking at him, they couldn't tell he's scared. He held his emotion. أَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى. قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ. Musa, stop being scared. وَأَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِ. Throw your stick, you'll see what happens. Hold your emotion. Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, she was taught by Rasulullah ﷺ in more than one hadith how to hold her emotion. One time, as is narrated in Bukhari, an old woman, the Prophet is sitting and Aisha next to him. And an old woman comes. Aisha doesn't tell us her name. She hated her so much. She just calls her the old woman. أتت العجوز. يعني this old lady. This old woman came, وسبت, and she cursed me. She said a bad word to me in front of Muhammad ﷺ. And Aisha, she was, you know, I'll give it to her. I'll give it right back. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, فَنَظَرْتُ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I was going to answer her, but I said to myself, hold on, let me look to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَرَأَيْتُ فِي وَجْهِهِ أَنَّهُ يَغْضَى. I saw in his face, if I spoke back to her, he would be upset. فَتَمَلَّكْتُ نَفْسِي. I held myself. It was tough. فَذَهَبَتْ وَرَجَعَتْ. She went on her business, came back. سَبَّتْنِي. She cursed me again in front of my husband. So I said, ah, khalas, it's on now. فَنَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ. I looked to his face, and I saw in his face, no, he would be upset. So I was quiet. ذَهَبَتْ وَرَجَعَتْ. Third time. Three strikes, you're out. She comes back. She says, I looked to the Prophet, I said, I'm going to... خلاص. And I saw in his face, أَنَّهُ لَا يَغْضَى. He would not be angry. فانتصرت. I took victory. You know, نص. I destroyed her. فَذَهَبَتْ وَلَمْ تَرْجِعْ. She left and never came back. Right? But it shows you Aisha radiallahu anha. She controlled herself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught her to hold herself. Hold her tongue. Hold her emotion. Now sisters, sometimes you go too far. Many brothers, they say, "Brother, Shaykh Yahya, wallahi, I don't know what's wrong." I say, "What do you mean?" He goes, "I asked her, what's wrong? I don't know. She won't tell me." I said, "How long?" 3 weeks, Ya Allah. She doesn't talk. 3 weeks, she didn't talk to you. 3 weeks. Yes, didn't the Prophet say 3 days, Shaykh? Go talk to her, Nabi. Talk to her. By Allah. By the honor of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by your love for Allah, go talk to her. I say, "Akhi, I mean, what do you want me to say?" He goes, "The only thing I want is to find out why." She won't even tell me why. I come visit their home. I say, "Sister, what's happening?" She goes, "He should know." Allahu Akbar. I said, "Look, tell me, I'll tell him." Now this is where the sisters, you know, sometimes you guys go a little bit too far. She said, "I can't remember what it is, but he knows what he did." I said, "Allahu Akbar. So it's been so long you've forgotten yourself and you just go with it?" "Yes." She goes, "It's not what he did. It's how he made me feel." Yeah, see the sisters, yes. Because the way you guys think is different to the way we think. You know, if my wife has a car accident, when she rings me, if she rings me, what happened? If I ask my friend, if I ask another man, he'll say, I was driving, a dog ran on the road, I hit a tree. Khalas. Now I ask my wife, what happened? "Well, you know, I was feeling very emotional from the morning." I say, "Okay. And you know, I had this really terrible phone call." I say, "Yeah, but I'm asking about the car accident, not your morning." "I know, but I'm telling you what happened." I say, no, what happened at that time of the accident? "I know, I'm getting to that. I'm going to tell you what happened." I say, "Okay, tell me what happened." So then I said, after that phone call, I had to call my sister. So I spoke to Rabia for half an hour, and she made me feel better. And then I told her, "Okay, I'll come." I say, "Ya ukhti, what happened to the car?" She goes, "I'm going to tell you. Just wait, listen to what happened." You, sisters, think with emotion. You connect things with emotion. You don't connect things with fact, which is a problem we have with you. Because we're thinking about the fact, A plus B equals C. But you say A had emotions, and B was sensitive, and C had a friend, which made D. We don't know where D came from. Right? Emotion, you have to restrain it. You have to hold it. One of the reasons we find a lot of difficulty at times and strife is lack of communication. Or communication at the wrong times. Right? Instead of saying what you want in a way that can be understood by the other person. Sometimes, you know, you come to tell your husband a story, like this long story that I would hear, and he's, "Why are you telling me this? I just want to know this." And you get upset that he's not listening to you. But you're not talking to him. That's the problem, right? Restrain. Sometimes you have to hold your emotion. Sometimes you have to also release your emotion. Sisters, I always tell the brothers, you know, when there's arguments, men are very vocal. And sometimes, you know, we try, some men, they're a bit loud. "Ah!" Okay. And then the sister goes quiet. She's like a submarine underwater. He doesn't know there's torpedoes in the water. Nuclear war has started. He's swimming, doesn't know that, like my Shireen worried about fish. "No, there's torpedoes, brother." Right? So you put these torpedoes in the water and your poor husband, ya haram. He doesn't know what's coming. Because you're under, down. He doesn't see the battle carrier. He doesn't see the danger. Take it easy on your husbands. Right? Don't start nuclear war without, you know, shoot a warning shot. Say, I'm unhappy because of this. It makes life much easier, right? To express it sometimes, it makes things easier. Don't worry, I'll talk to the brothers about how to help you express yourself, inshallah. All right. Don't tell my wife I talked to you about the car accident. Number 17, love what you do. And one of the ways to find happiness in our life is to love what you do. And you might say, Brother Yahya, I don't love what I'm doing now. But in everything in life, there will be something you love and something you hate. Whether it's your studies or being at home with the children or whatever it is, there will always be moments you love and moments you hate. Begin to shift yourself to enjoy the adventures and the difficulties. You know, I wrote an article, it's called The Sunnah of Love, about the Prophet ﷺ and his life with Aisha. You can Google it, inshallah. The Sunnah of Love. And I say in it that love can manifest itself in changing diapers. My wife, she loved me because I changed diapers at night. She would say, this is one of the reasons I love you. Why? For what did I do? What's so special? You changed the diapers. At 2 a.m, instead of waking me, you did it. Allahu Akbar. Right? Who knew that love was in changing poopy diapers? But there it is. Right? If you were to ask someone who's not yet married, what are the things that you're going to love in your wife and your husband? You never say, oh, I'm going to love, he's going to change smelly diapers in the middle of the night. But that becomes the reason. All of a sudden, the love, it's no longer, you know, oh, I love you, SMSs and all this stuff. It's, can you bring sugar? We need some more onions at home. Can you drop by the shop? And then a little, I love you. You're, oh. Right? That's where you find love. Right? So it changes. It changes from one thing to another. So look for the things that will make you happy. Learn to love some things that you never expected you would love. Love what you do. Seek passion in whatever it is that you seek. Now the last three are linked to each other, so I'm going to say them together. Number 18, 19 and 20 is forget the past. Number 18, forget the past. 19, ignore the future. Don't focus on the future. So forget the past. Ignore the future. Live the present. Live the present. Don't dwell in the past. If I had done this, if I had studied this degree, if I had married this person, if I had done this, if I had made that decision. No, that statement is from the words of the Prophet ﷺ, لو had I, if I had done this instead of this, this is the statement of the shaitan. No. Focus on now. And don't plan too much the future. Don't say, you know, there was one couple, they said, Sheikh, we want you to do our wedding. I said, when? MashaAllah, soon. No, we're going to get married April 2016. I said, Allahu Akbar. Yeah, they said, make sure you're free. 2016? How is that possible? Looking into such... It's good to be goal-oriented, but still. Look to where you are today. Plan what you're doing today. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لَغَدٍ. Look to what you will do for the Akhirah. But don't become so fixated and rigid about your future that you become blinded to opportunities in the dunya. Don't say, no, only this. Because in 10 years, this is what will happen. No, perhaps there is more than one route to that happiness that you seek in 2 or 1 or 3 or 4 or 5 years' time. Don't become fixated on a particular aim or goal that you cannot envision your life without. And in particular, I say to my sisters who are not yet married, don't have this idealized view. You know, Prince Charming, he has to be like, you know, his skin has to be Nescafe. One sister, she said, "Brother, my wife, my daughter, we want someone, you know, yani Nescafe." I said, "What do you mean Nescafe?" She said, "Not chocolate milk, not latte, but Nescafe." I'm like, "I don't understand. What do you mean?" She said, his skin. Allahu Akbar. So if a nice man comes, maybe he's latte, not cappuccino. You're going to say no. Allahu Akbar. You have to think. You have to think. And another sister, she goes, "Brother Yahya, you have to talk to my friend." "About what?" One of my students at university. "About what?" "Brother, I love him." "Okay. And my parents hate him." "And talk to my parents." "About what?" "Not to hate him." I said, "But they hate him." She said, "Change their mind. Please, Chef." I said, "I'm going to change their mind. Why do they hate him? Is his skin No, I didn't say that. "Why do they hate him? What's wrong with him?" They said, "Well, he doesn't have an education." I said, it's not the end of the world. I said, "Does he have a job?" "No." I said, "Oh. Does he come from like a trust fund? He has lots of money or something? He doesn't have a job?" "No idea." "What's he going to do?" No, "Brother, he doesn't." I say, "Okay. And how are you going to live?" She said, "Well, we'll live with my parents at first." I said, "But they hate him." She said, "Yes, that's why I want you to talk to them." Allahu Akbar. How? كيف تعقلون? I love him. How do you love him? No, you love your parents more than you love him. You might love something now. For the unmarried, for the married ones, don't say anything. Okay? But for the unmarried sisters, everything you marry your husband for, you're going to resent after you marry him. You're going to hate it. He comes to you in a nice car, nice clothes, smelling nice. Coming from work, he was working till 6 late. You say, "Oh, mashallah. He came straight from work, 6 o'clock at night. We made him some food and he still looks sharp and smells. Mashallah, mashallah. I love this." Then you get married. "Why are you here at 6 o'clock? Why are you late?" "I'm not late. Even when I came to marry you, I came at 6. Everybody else comes at 5. Why are you at 6? Allahu Akbar. "Well, it's the job. Why are you dressed like that?" "What do you mean? This is the same suit I wore when I first came to see you. Who are you trying to look good for? Why are you smelling nice? Who are you smelling nice for?" Allahu Akbar. "Oh, I got a promotion." "Why?" "Because, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, we have, you know, the nice car you like? We have payments. You like that nice?" "Yes." "Why do you have it?" "No, I don't want it anymore." The image you had changes. All of a sudden, the man you love, who's coming late, "Why are you late? Why are you dressed? Why are you doing this? All of these are things that previously, he will also look at you, "Sister, don't be upset now." The brother says, "Oh, mashallah, she's beautiful. She is this. And then, yani, marriage, children, years, right? Things change. Don't be upset now. This is the reality. So the things he thought he married you for are no longer there. Right? He married you for this image, for this. Not there. Then what happens? You have to find love in poopy nappies. Right? That's where the love is. In a grocery list. I love you. She said that beside the onions. This is... Wow. Right? Then you find real love. The reasons for love. And that's why when, you know, I love him, brother, I say, you don't love him. You don't know him to love him. No. So you have to have the aql, inshallah. So those three things are tied together. We end with them, inshallah. Don't focus on the past, mistakes, happiness lost, difficulties, whatever it is. Live in the moment. Don't seek the future too much, because لا يعلم الغيب إلا الله. No one knows the future except Allah. No one knows the aim and the plan and the fate that is for you except Allah. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the best of fate and the best of qadr, and makes easy our journey in this dunya so that we arrive at the splendor of Jannah. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yadeemu alaykum al-ni'mah, that He completes His favor and grace upon you, and that you feel the joy, and that you keep it and appreciate it and retain it, and that the sorrow is mitigated by your hope and your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors all of us who were with us here today with the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the following of his example. Allahumma ameen. And I pray you a safe return home, inshaAllah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. السلام ورحمة الله. The greatest dua that a believer should be habitual with, barakallahu fiki, is the dua that was recited in Salatul Isha by the Imam, who had a wonderful voice, mashallah, which is Rabbana, our Lord, atina fi dunya hasana. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَ عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Our Lord, give us good in the dunya and good in the akhirah, and protect us from hellfire. This dua is a dua al-jami'. It is the most comprehensive dua taught to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who have gone to make hajj, when they follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their tawaf around the Kaaba, the thing that you say the most is that dua, because it is the dua that is for the dunya and in the akhirah. As for our families in particular, near the end of Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Furqan, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. Our Lord, give us from our families and our children that which will please us. Let us see from them that which will make us happy. Also from the dua of the Prophet, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. O Allah, keep me regular in prayer, and that, and let my children learn this from me and be habitual in the salah. These three dua are the dua that put happiness in our home, inshaAllah ta'ala. Also to regularly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istighfar. And istighfar blesses us with children and increases our wealth and prevents our harm. Allahumma ameen. Dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam.
So perhaps I think it should repeat the three.
Yes, the three dua. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhab an-nar. Which is in Surah Al-Baqarah. From Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. O Allah, bless us and our children, our families, with that which will please us. And also the dua of Nabiyyullah Ibrahim in Surah Ibrahim, and also in Surah Al-Baqarah, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. O Allah, keep me and also my children and those who come after me established and regular in our prayers. Allahumma.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, thank you for your question. Perhaps for the next one, inshallah, after you are ready, I'll be taking 3 questions at a time before the question and answer. But I'm also getting questions already on the phone, so perhaps we can start with this question.
Yes, okay.
So the first one says, Sheikh, Assalamualaikum. Is there such a thing that a person is not meant to be happy at all in this world?
No, this is an impossibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ. Allah wishes for you facility and comfort and happiness in life. وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. And Allah does not wish you distress. And Allah says in the beginning of Surah Taha, طَاهَا مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. This Qur'an was not sent to give you distress, meaning it was sent to relieve your distress and bring you happiness. Right? The intent of the Qur'an, لِتَسْعَدْ, so that you can become happy. Na'am.
Okay, the next one is, Nabi Muhammad
sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam, in terms of mixed marriage, does that state only for men? I believe this refers to perhaps that was the hikmah of the books. My mother in particular discourages being friends out of our religion, meaning to be friends, by friend I mean boyfriend. So how do I make her see or accept my relationship just as it is now and not as the groom to be? I don't know what my future would be, but I still want my mother's blessing.
Naam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has given us the path of life. And that's the word sharia. The word sharia means our path in life. It's like sharia, a way to walk in life. And this path, on its sides, on the right of it and the left of it, is a cliff. That if a person makes the wrong turn, they fall over. And they can find it very difficult to come back to the path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانِ أَنْ يُضِلَّكُمْ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. The shaitan wants you to fall off the path so that you don't know how to get back. That you fall off and you don't know which way to go. And one of the ways that the shaitan dissuades us is that he makes our heart's desire not what Allah desires for us. That your hawa becomes the thing that gives you guidance rather than receiving the guidance from Allah. So Allah warns us of this in the Quran. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen the condition, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Ummah Muhammad, of the one who has made his desire his God? I love someone. But Allah tells me, no, I cannot accept that. If I choose what my heart wants at a moment in time, that moment may not last. And that happiness or what I think of love may not be there a week later, a month later, a phone call later. Sometimes it's just a phone call later. Sometimes it's not even a phone call, it's an SMS later. Sometimes you read something about someone later. You see a picture on Facebook. You hear he did went with this person or met this person, and all of a sudden it shatters one's life. What Allah wants is what is easy for us, which is to live a clean, upright, just life. You will find that with someone who joins you in it, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, so I say to my brothers and sisters, I don't say this just to the Muslim sisters, I say this to Muslim men as well as to Muslim women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا عَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرٌ مُنْ مُشْرِكٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكُمْ. Allah says, and a slave, someone who doesn't even own their own freedom, a slave is better for you if they are a believer than a master if they are a mushrik, an unbeliever. That's the answer that I give for this question, inshaAllah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.
Perhaps if I could expound, maybe to clarify, the question on whether allowing of marriage within people of both is limited to only men.
So the question is, that's a different question?
Or that's the same question, but perhaps that's a...
Okay.
The
so our Sharia has specific rules to marrying outside our faith. For us to discuss the fiqh in an honest way, I would need too much time. And it would not be serving justice to the word of Allah if I just give you a one answer, 1 minute, 2 minute answer. Yes, there are provisions in Islam that allow a Muslim man to marry a woman of the book under certain conditions and under certain restraints, and these things we don't have time to discuss now. Now. But inshallah, if someone wants something detailed about that, they can email me and I will forward them a thorough research on that inshallah.
Perhaps you share your email?
Yes, inshallah. My email, very easy. Yahya Ibrahim at Hotmail, Gmail, Yahoo. I have them all.
So it's YAHYAIBRAHIM.
No. Okay. Hotmail, Gmail, yeah. Any one of them.
Okay. But somehow I'll be taking from the floor now. I don't know if any of you will be interested, but there are mics with my friends and colleagues, as well as one from the side of the project. So if there's anyone who would be interested in asking questions, there are any. Is there a
chance? Yes.
Anyone?
Yes.
Now,
Surah Al-Sad. Surah Sad is Ra'aita man ittakhadha ilaha wa hawa.
So the sister was asking a surah that's helpful for controlling of the nafs, and so it's Surah Al-Sad. Any questions from the front?
There's a sister there. Waalaikum assalam.
Is there a
Yes. So point number 20, knowing when to quit. Right? The sister asked a very good question. You know, in our life, sometimes we're pursuing something and it seems like the doors are closing and we don't know if we should just back away and give up. When should we do that? If it is something for Allah, never stop. If it is something for yourself, ask those who can give you sincere advice. So for example, if someone is saving money to go to Hajj, and every year they want to go to Hajj and they just don't have enough, you have to keep going. It's for Allah. Someone wants to memorize the Quran, it's difficult. It's been 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years. Don't give up. Keep going. Because it's for Allah. It's ibadah. But things in the dunya that are restricted by expertise of others, financial constraints, matters of that, take the advice of those who are experts in the field. For sisters, for example, sometimes a sister will come and say, "Brother Yahya, I've been trying to have a child. And it's very demoralizing that every time we go through a cycle and we do in vitro, that it doesn't happen. Brother Yahya, when should we give up?" I say, "I can't answer. You have to answer." She goes, "But when?" I said, "Do you still have money?" "Yes." "Do you still have desire?" "Yes." There's your answer. "Do you have money?" "No." There's your answer. "Do you have money?" "Yes." "Do you have desire or too much emotion?" "Khalas. I can't take another." "Khalas. Stop." Right? So the decisions have to be your own. But the advice can be solicited by experts and people whom you trust. And that's one of the reasons I said, you have to look around you. You have to listen to what other people say. Don't ever go it alone. It's not just do it, but just do it with others, those who will help you achieve the goal, inshallah. Now.
If there's no one watching the floor, I'm going to start reading all these exercises. There are a lot for me. And inshallah, for you, if you stay around, and these questions are very interesting, inshallah, it will be helpful for us to be doing it. It's not our questions. Any one last sentence left? You can't write it and start the exercises. Don't worry, I will be limiting our time to more than 15 to 20 minutes. So, of course, please stay and listen to questions. Okay, I'll start very quickly. How could a woman approach a man following the right way?
For marriage.
Very
serious question.
Please stay for the story.
It's actually quite simple. When someone is interested in marriage, when a sister is interested in marriage from a brother, she speaks to her wali, her representative, who then speaks to the brother. It could be her father, it could be her brother, it could be her uncle, it could be someone who she speaks through them. And this is something that is acceptable in Islam, was done by the Sahaba, and is something that should not be a cultural, non-issue. Rather, when someone is of good khuluq and good deen, and someone is of means, and he is a good catch, as they say, then you have to fish him in, right? You have to throw the line and get your wali, inshallah, involved. But as for a sister contacting a brother directly, this can be an enormous source of fitna and an enormous source of inappropriate behavior that Islam does not tolerate. We have to be very careful with these things. Now, I know in certain cultures there's a little bit more freedom in terms of, a young man and a young sister, that they get to know each other and things like that, with the approval of the wali. Without the approval of the wali, it is dangerous and, in my opinion, unacceptable.
Okay, so, thanks. I'm going to combine two questions here.
Sure.
It's saying here, how do you let go of the dunya in reference to Guru, I'm not sure what that means.
Yes.
Meaning, we are so caught up in the world that we become afraid to let go. And I'm going to connect that to another question that I got, which says something along the lines of, how do we learn to stop ourselves from finding happiness and enjoying things in this world and being happy, but are forbidden in Islam?
No. Anything that is forbidden, now when I use that word forbidden, it means Allah has forbidden it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to understand the beauty of our faith. That which is done with Allah's permission brings true happiness. That which is done outside Allah's permission, even if it's the same act, brings distress, even if there is a moment or a taste of happiness. And therefore, it's important for us to separate between two things: our desire and fulfilling our desire in the way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. There are only two types of sin. Every haram, it's only two things really. It's either shubha or shahwa, doubt about Allah, or unrestrained desire. Those are the two sins of the world. Someone is doubtful of Allah, so they don't do something. The person who doesn't wake up for Fajr, the reason they don't wake up for Fajr is they don't really believe in Allah. They doubt Allah. They doubt Jannah. They doubt Jahannam. If they believed in Jahannam, they would wake up. As the Prophet ﷺ said, they would crawl to the masjid for their prayer. But because they don't believe completely, they kind of believe. There's doubt. While the one who commits adultery, it's not because he doubts Allah, it's because of shahwa. I have desire, I'm going to fulfill, khalas. Doesn't matter what anyone says. Allah said, someone, even people of power and authority, you think to yourself, how could, someone so great, so learned, doctor, presidents of countries, President Clinton, how could you? Shahwa, blinded to the reality of life. So those are the two things. So when we say things that are haram, there are many things that are haram that bring joy, but the joy is only momentary. And when that momentary joy finishes, there is shame and sadness and hiding from that which is right and not wanting other people to know of one's shame. While when something is done in halal and something is done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing, it is something that is a source of pride, and there's complete and utter happiness because of it, inshaAllah. The first question is also important in the sense that it's important for us as Muslims to find comfort in that which is our culture and our deen, our religion. Sometimes we try to take on what we see happening in other parts of the world. When I said YOLO earlier, everyone knows what that, you only live once, you gotta enjoy your life, even when you look at some of the things that target us in the media, do it to the max, you gotta do, they're selling a drink, right? Do it to the max, jump off a bridge, it's like, whoa, you gotta enjoy, don't let a moment go by. Seize the moment, yes, okay, but not at the expense of the akhirah. And the dunya is mata'ul ghurur. There is deception in its beauty. Meaning everything that you think you want, when you get it, you understand it was a mirage. Now, I want to end the night on a good note. We'll end with this question, inshallah. Yeah, alright? When you wake up, now I want you to listen. When we wake up in our grave on the day of judgment, you're going to wake up. You're going to think your whole life was a dream, was a mirage. And you're going to stand on the day of judgment and you will whisper to others. You will say, "Kam labithtum?" Allah says, we will say to each other, "How long were we asleep for?" Because in Surah Yasin, "Man ba'athana min maqad?" Who woke us up? هذا ما وعد الرحمن. This is what Allah has promised. You're going to wake up. The 80 years of your life, 60, 70, 80 years, in comparison to the one day of 50,000 years, is like you had a nap and you woke up. And Allah tells you in the Quran that every time you come to something that you think is the source of happiness, it is a mirage that has deceived you. وَوَجَدَ اللَّهَ عِنْدَ فَوَفَاهُ عِسَابًا. But you find Allah there and will give you your reward or punishment. So you come to a moment in your life, and on the Akhirah, Allah will say to you, "This is what you actually received. Here is the reward for that marriage. Here is the punishment for that relationship. Here is the reward for that action, for that salah. Here is the punishment for the riba, for the sinfulness." Because what you seized, it appeared to be permanent, but it was only temporary. It was deception. Every day of your life, you wake up knowing that the real life, my dear sisters in Islam, is the next life. Does that mean I shouldn't have any happiness? No, you should have lots of happiness. And you should plan for tomorrow. And you should seize the day. And you should work hard. But always in that path. Don't fall off the cliff. Don't move with the shaitan. Don't follow his steps. Because he will push you over the edge. And you won't know how, may Allah protect us, to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The life we live is transient. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ma li wa lid dunya?" What do I have from this dunya? I am a traveler, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, he used to carry a stick. He wasn't needing a stick. He had good legs, no problem. And people asked him, "Ya Imam, why do you carry that stick?" He He said, to remind me I'm on a journey. Allahu Akbar. Compare that, you know, the Imam upstairs in Jumu'ah tomorrow, he's going to hold the stick. Because you guys are Shafi'i, right? And he's doing it because the Imam Shafi'i did it. Why did Imam Shafi'i do it? Because, not because it's a stick, not in routine. He did it because he's a traveler. He was, you know, this is my journey. I need a stick to carry me to the end of my journey. It's like I'm a hiker up a mountain. And Allah tells you, you are climbing a mountain. Dhil ma'arij, Surah Al-Ma'arij. What does it mean? You are making an ascent up this difficult mountain of the dunya. May Allah allow us to reach the top, which enters into Jannatul Firdaus. Allahumma ameen. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the words and our actions here today, and makes you and I from those who are successful in our dunya and in the akhirah, and protects us from Jahannam. Jazakumullah khair. I am honored to have been with you, and I pray that I get to see you in other moments and other times. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.